Welcome to the Jesus 360 podcast, a devotional guide to the names and descriptions of Jesus given to us by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Brother Daniel, myself, Blair Phillips, will be co-hosting today's discussion on Jesus, the one whose robes are dipped in blood. And so we are in Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, and it reads, "He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." And so this passage of Jesus as the one whose robe is dipped in blood, most of us as believers are familiar in relating our beloved Jesus with blood, but mostly in relation to his cross and the suffering and his own blood being upon him and as being a part of the sacrifice that he gave for us. But there's a passage in the Bible that relates to Isaiah chapter 19 and the return of Jesus, his second coming. That's very clear that this is not Jesus' blood. And so that is Isaiah chapter 63, and I'm going to read verse 1 through 6. It says, Isaiah says, "Who is this who comes from Edom, who's dyed garments from Bozrah, the one who's glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength?" And then Isaiah is asking that question in the text. That person he's describing responds and says, "I who am he who speaks in righteousness and mighty to save." And Isaiah asks again, "Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress?" And the response, "Because I have tread the winepress alone, and from the people no one was with me, for I trotted them in my anger and I trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all of my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was none to help. I wondered, but there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me, and from my own fury it sustained me. I have trotted down the people in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth." And so, Brother Daniel, this is a very... how do I say it? A fearful passage, or
you should cause trembling.
Yes,
sober trembling.
Sober is the word I'm looking for.
Yes. So Revelation 19 here in verse 13 and Isaiah 63 verse 1-6 is actually almost a mirror image to each other, with Isaiah 63 giving us more detailed information of why and how and where Jesus is doing this. So this is a time when Jesus on the white horse has not only appeared in the sky and together with the armies of heaven is now on the earth, going through Bozrah and Edom and begin to slay the wicked. And this is a significant treading of the winepress, because the army of the nation has been deceived by the Antichrist to gather around Jerusalem and the surrounding region to stage a major final battle, not against just the saints, but actually against the Lamb. We look at Revelation 17, verse 12 to 14. We will see that the 10 kings have given power to the little horn or the Antichrist, and this Antichrist would make war with the Lamb. They actually know he's the Lamb. They actually know that he is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is returned in power and glory, but they actually believe they could defeat him. And the army of the nation has been deceived by the Antichrist. By that time, the mark of the beast would have been pervasive throughout the nation, and many would have no choice, perhaps either no choice or by compulsion or voluntarily, you know, there's a mixture of everything that will be part of this epic, unfortunately tragic, epic rebellion of humanity against Christ. At the same time, not all human beings are on the side of an Antichrist, because the army of heaven is made up of a redeemed human being, and who is coming in power and glory with Jesus. And so we need to know that this is actually a tragic, a terrible, but yet a glorious day. That's why it's called the Day of Vengeance by Isaiah, but also a day of redemption. Jesus is coming to have this final war to end all wars. Jesus is coming to remove wickedness from the earth, and he has to do this because of the nature of the rebellion. He has to remove this by force. Sometimes it's hard for people to understand how could the Lamb, the Prince of Peace, be doing this. Yeah, the Prince of Peace is coming actually to establish the everlasting peace by removing all rebellion against him all the traces of sin. Because you remember in Matthew chapter 13, where the servant returned from the field and said, there is wheat and there is tares in the field, there's mixture. Why don't we go out and weed out all the tares? Jesus said the harvest is at the end of the age. The master said, don't leave the field alone. Let both mature to the end. So this is the picture of the maturity of the wickedness and the maturity of righteousness at the end. So both glory and darkness are fully ripe on the earth as a battleground, and Jesus is coming to bring complete light before he established the kingdom of God in fullness of the earth. So our prayers, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, will be fully realized by Jesus himself leading the army of heaven on a white horse. And the reason why he's dipped in blood is because he's slaying his enemy and he's executing speedy justice. Now, there are some in the body of Christ who love Jesus a lot, who really believe that the blood that we see here is interpreted as his blood on the cross of Calvary. But in like of Isaiah 63, respectfully, this is the picture of Isaiah 63. Because later in Revelation 19, we see that Jesus commanded the bird to come and have a feast on the corpse of those that he slay. So this is not Jesus on the cross shedding his own blood. This is the blood of his enemies that he has slain, and their blood is sprinkled upon the horse and his garment.
I'm so thankful for the cross-reference of Isaiah 63 and that this encounter vision that the Lord gives Isaiah, because it's a dialogue. It goes back and forth. The way Isaiah experienced it and it was led to dictate it down by the Holy Spirit. And Isaiah, you know, sees and asks the question, who is this coming up from Bozrah and Edom with dyed garments? But then he also throws in there in the question, he describes the garments as being glorious apparel. And so even Isaiah, in seeing this vision and this reality, has a wonder in his heart about this man who's covered in blood, but also recognizes that there's a certain aspect of glory related to those garments, even before he fully understands who that person is and why and where that dye comes from. And so I think that's to be noted and to be pondered upon as our listeners, as you guys hear this, some of you maybe for the first time grasping what as some have called this, these scriptures, the Jesus in red, and meditating upon Jesus and his identity as being the one who will wear dyed garments that will be dyed by the blood of his enemies, is that there is a glory to this, that Jesus himself is revealing his beauty and his glory through confronting Satan and his army.
So some would ask, how can this be a beauty of Jesus? Isn't this such a gory kind of scenario where his garment and his horse is basically full of blood? Is actually going to be like R-rated, you know, and beyond. It's kind of difficult to watch as it is. But it's actually a glorious and beautiful aspect of Jesus, because he's the one who has not forgotten true justice, and he is coming to execute speedy justice for those that has been, whose justice has been delayed. So in other words, when Jesus say, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, it affects our spirituality today when we are being oppressed, we have been persecuted, we have been wrong in so many ways, and that we can forgive our enemy, we can release them to God, because we know that vengeance is in the hand of God and there will be true justice, and God will be the great equalizer. And when Jesus returns, he will equalize every injustice on the earth. We don't have to take justice in our own hand. You know, I'm not talking about self-defense or something like that when, you know, your physical body is in danger, but the basic disposition of the spiritual life of a disciple in Christ is such that we do not harbor vengeance into our own hand. We forgive, and we forgive even those who are spitefully using us, persecuting us, mocking us, or some people who are even physically harming us, we're able to forgive them and release them to the hand of the Lord. But if they do not repent and they keep doing what they're doing, they have to face the fearful aspect of Jesus' judgment and justice, which is far more worse than what we can repay to them. So Jesus said, "Vengeance is mine, I shall repay." So because Jesus is the one who is gloriously coming with a body and a garment and a horse that's dipped in blood, we can also relate to him as the one who does not have to take vengeance in our own hand. So we know that we can forgive. We know that we can even love our enemy. We can ask the Lord for this supremacy of his love, to love our enemy. And so, Father, we just thank you that you are the victorious banner in your Son, Christ Jesus, that even though the adversary is always planning for things that will destroy your church and destroy the witness of the gospel and destroy the testimony of your word, when he comes on the white horse dipped in blood, his name is the Word of God. Even though the culture and nation is trying to come against the truth of your Word of God and perverse it and cause abominable things to happen, yet as your people, as your faithful witness on the earth, we know that vengeance is yours. When we cry out to you, there will be speedy justice in due time, in near term and in eternal term. And we are confident that God, that you are the one who is the true judge, who have true justice in your hand. And so we align ourselves with you today, and we ask for the enlargement of the capacity of our heart. So on a day-to-day basis, we can, Lord, forgive. We can, Lord, forbear. And we can love with extravagant love, even to those who is against us, those who have intention to harm us. So, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that we will have such a confidence in your justice system that you are the one who is coming on the white horse dipped in blood. In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen and amen. We want to thank you for joining us for this Jesus 360 podcast. We invite you to join us next time as we continue on through the names and descriptions of Jesus in the book of Revelation.
You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul.